If you'll take your New Testament tonight, we'll be studying one verse in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Before we actually look at the details of this verse, let's look at the context in which it's found. Beginning in verse 12, you will find a section that goes down to verse 17 of things that have to do with being chosen of God, the elect. Holy and beloved, he says. And in that, to put on certain things, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so forgive one another. Then last Sunday night, we looked at verse 14. Above all these things, put on charity, agape, which is the bond, that which ties it all together, of completeness. Then you come to verse 15. Which we'll study tonight. And there are two qualities in this one passage that what I will call the two qualities to rule the heart. There are things inside of our inner man that dominate our thinking. And whatever that is, whether it be these two things or something else, that is who we are. What we are on the inside when we are by ourselves is who we really are. I need you to think about that. Because it's sometimes easy to be something pretended to be when I'm around someone else. But when you're by yourself, okay, thinking to yourself, that is really who you are. Now, when these two qualities, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, by the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God, rule in your heart, and be thankful. So we're going to look tonight at these two particular qualities. Both have to do with how man lives his life before God. For example, the verse is forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and the concept of, and above all these things, put on charity, the bond of completeness. Obviously, those are things that have to do with you and me. But these are qualities that have to do with me and God and you. And God. And we'll come back to the concept of to rule in the heart at the end of the lesson. But peace with God. There's a lot of troubled people in the world. And you may fit into that category. Now, I hope not tonight, in view of the fact that you're here on a Sunday night and you've sung these songs to be encouraged. We listened to a great prayer of Brother Tony just a few minutes ago. And now we opened up the pages of the Bible to let our Father in heaven teach us what He wants us to be as His children. But I've met few people in the world who are extremely troubled in their mind. It may be they're confused about doctrine. They're confused about things in Scripture. It may be that they're going through an emotional upheaval in their home or on the job or in their neighborhood or just individually of the history of their life, that it, as we say, my ship did not come in today, or it hasn't come in yet. Peace with God. When man has peace with God, there's not anything to substitute for that. The second quality is thanksgiving with God. If you'll study your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that a lot of people asked Jesus for something. How about the sick wanting to be healed? How about people that had demons that wanted them cast out? How about even some that had loved ones to die and they wanted Jesus to raise them from the dead or He raised them from the dead? Now the question is, after people received things from the Lord, were they thankful? Were they thankful? Think about sometimes people receive benefits from the church, like goods out of the pantry, or certain items that have to do with maybe bills paid or whatever the case might be. Now the question is, are you thankful? I remember years ago when we lived next to the church building at the old site, there was a lady who pulled into the parking lot and was asking for food, and asked her a series of questions, and I don't know if she's legitimate or not, but it appeared that she was. So went into the place where we had the canned goods and took a sack and filled the sack up full of canned goods. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something about some of you folks that buy some of these canned goods. Y'all know what Cost Cutter brands are? That would be Kroger, I guess, or whatever, or Great Value from Walmart. That's what Pam buys. Some of you folks buy Van Camp, okay, and Fleur de, whatever, De Lee English peas. I don't even know what that is on the inside of that can. I've seen those labels, you know, those are up there about eye level where you can't afford that. And some of you will buy the high quality stuff and put it in the pantry. Now, I'm loading up canned goods in there. Generally put peanut butter or some potted meat or whatever the case might be and some vegetables and some fruit and so forth. I had that sack chock-a-block full. By the way, do you know how much that sack probably would have cost at Walmart? Not long ago, I had to do some shopping, $20 for half of a sack like that. Okay, and I'm thinking, what in the world's happened? I remember my mother could go to the grocery store and bring out four paper bags full of groceries for $20. And now you can get it in Walmart in a pint size. And I remember handing this lady this bag of goods, and she opened up the lid and she looked down and she did one of those numbers. And here's what I thought. Ma'am, I didn't tell her this. I said, ma'am, you're not really hungry. Because if you was really hungry, you'd eat the label off those cans, much less the content of what was inside those cans. But I got something, but it really wasn't what I wanted. Well, we want to talk tonight about both these qualities, not just one of them, both of them. So first of all, let's look at the concept of peace with God. I put four verses here. This obviously is not the total extent of it. But peace with God is not exactly what everybody in the world thinks is peace with God. For example, John 14, verse 27. Jesus said to the apostles, my peace, or peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. And then the next verse, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Or maybe the last part of this one verse. In other words, Jesus is telling the apostles, there is a peace that I provide for you that's not like the peace that's out here that the world would give to you. So this peace with God has to do with this peace in John 14. In Luke 12, verse 51 beginning, Jesus said again to the disciples, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I'm not come to send peace, but a sword. And then he talks about how that there will be five in a house, and two will be against three, and three will be against two. Father will be against his son against the father, daughter against mother against daughter, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. What can happen with the gospel? That here's an individual in a home that obeys the gospel, goes back home and tells mom and dad or brother and sister or whatever the case might be that I've obeyed the gospel. What might happen when they get back home? By the way, it not only might happen, it has happened before. That instead of it being a peaceable, joyous situation, it turned into warfare. Father against son against father. In other words, a man's foes can become those of his own household. So what do you mean, peace with God? Where think not that I am come to send peace, I came to send sword. But he did say in John 14, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. In the Old Testament, in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they who love thy law. Now, this is the kind of peace Jesus is talking about. Great peace have those at the United Nations. No, that's a political setup. Great peace have all they who love thy law. In other words, that want to be right with God. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be right with my fellow man, even with my own family members. But it does mean I'm going to be right with God. Psalm 37, verse 37. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. Well, what do you mean by the perfect man, the upright man? the man that wants to do what the Bible says. He's had enough of the turmoil and the guilt that goes with sin. He wants the peace that comes from God. Well, that's what the child of God is. I can remember back before I obeyed the gospel, when I was in my preteens, around 12 years old, and a buddy of mine had just obeyed the gospel. As a matter of fact, he had obeyed the gospel about 2 or 3 months before I was baptized into Christ. And he was trying to encourage me to go ahead and, on a particular Sunday, to be baptized. And I said, well, I've sort of got my mind set on when I'm going to do this and so forth. And then he asked me the question. He said, well, what would happen if you were to die tonight? Because I told him when I was going to do it. And it was going to be the day before I turned 13. My birthday was on a Monday. And I was going to be baptized on the Sunday before I turned 13 on Monday. He said, well, what would happen to you if you were to die tonight? You already know what to do. And you're already putting it off. Well, me being the 12-year-old, obstinate, in his face with it, I said, well, that's just what I'm going to do. But I remember that night laying my head down on my pillow in my bed, thinking about what he said that day. That was the Sunday before. Let me tell you something. I prayed all week that God would let me live and that there would be the Sunday I had planned, the day I was going to obey the gospel. Because I kept remembering. I know what it is I need to do, and I have not yet done it. If I shut my eyes, will I open them up again? I remember that at 12 years old. And I remember the day I was baptized, and I remember the very night, January 26, 1970, to be 13 the next day. I remember laying my head down on my pillow and praying to the Father in heaven, thank you for keeping me alive to today. And I thank you that I am now your child, and help me to live like you want me to live. And went sound. I have never slept that well. Just right off, as it were, floating on the clouds. But my buddy disturbed me. He didn't need to do that. I already was planning on obeying the gospel. Why would you put that in there? Because he wanted me to do it right then. And I didn't want to do it right then. I wanted to do it on my time schedule. Well, what about tonight? What is your time schedule? Peace with God. Now, it might mean war with your mama. It might be war with your daddy. It might be war with your wife, war with your husband if you're married. It might be war with your in-laws. Who knows what it would be? Who knows what the reaction would be about people at work, people all around you. But let me tell you something about God's people. Great peace have they that love thy law, and they shall not be offended. David also said in the Psalms, Psalm 119, I can't remember the exact verse, he says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee. That's a great statement. I remember the day I was baptized on January the 26th. I was sitting about the second pew on the center aisle on the front. That's where teenagers, when I was a teenager, we sat in the front. And I remember as soon as Dad got out of the pulpit and the song leader got in the pulpit and started the song, first stanza, as soon as I saw my daddy stand still in the middle of the aisle, I just stepped out in the aisle, walked right up, stuck my hand out, he took mine, I sat down on the front pew. I was the only person that day to obey the gospel. Only person that day to respond to the invitation. But I remember, like I know my own name. I remember the fact that I was scared to death, and I didn't have any reason to be scared. Because after I was baptized and the closing prayer was said, there wasn't a single person came up to me and criticized me for doing what I did. As a matter of fact, every person that came up to me either hugged me or said something kind to me in an encouraging way. Do you believe tonight that would happen tonight? You believe that happened tonight? That there would be people in this room after you obey the gospel to encourage you that not only would you be at peace with God Almighty, you would be at peace with every person in here who is a child of God. Let me tell you something. If you've not obeyed the gospel, there are people praying for you. Me in particular. I have the names of people. And I'm not going to give you this list of names. I have the names of people in my private prayers that I pray for. I just don't pray for the lost. By the way, that's easy said, right? To pray for the lost. I pray for individual names. Lord, help this person, name their name, to come to a knowledge of the truth and obey the gospel. Help me to be an influence toward that. Why? Because I want them to have what I've got. I want every one of you to have what I've got. Peace with God that passes all understanding, the New Testament says. Let's move to the next concept. Thanksgiving toward God. And let me sort of mention this, though it's not in these list of verses here. You remember in the 10th chapter of Luke, there were 10 men during Jesus' earthly ministry, and every one of them had leprosy. You remember that? And Jesus is one day passing by where they are. They all know who he is, and they all cry out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus told all 10 of them, go show yourself to the priest. And they did. They all went in that direction. The Bible says, as soon as they turned to go, every one of them were made whole. Every one of them are cleansed. Every one of them are perfectly healthy. No longer have any leprosy or any of the side effects of leprosy. And all 10 of them, right? All 10 of them, now having a peace with God, with reference to the fact that they don't have to think about the leprosy that they had, crying out to the Lord for help, and he blessed them, every one of them. They all 10 turned around, fell down at his feet, and thanked him, didn't they? All 10 of them. No. The record of the Bible says one. Just one. By the way, were they all healed? Did they all ask for the same thing? And did they all do the same thing of what Jesus asked them to do? Yes. Then why did they not respond in kind, all 10 of them, just like one did? And by the way, and the one that responded, according to the text, was a Samaritan. An outcast. Now he has a peace that came from God, that he's not a leper. And what also does he have in his heart? Yes, thanksgiving. He went back and thanked the Lord. There is a former professor of mine at Freed Hardeman. He's not there anymore. His name is Brother Donnie Barnes. Brother Donnie Barnes, of the 4 years that I was at Freed Hardeman, gave to me the greatest chapel speech of 4 years I heard at Freed Hardeman. Now, there are a lot of chapel speeches I heard in 4 years at Freed Hardeman. For Brother Barnes gave to me the classic of all. Brother Donnie Barnes started out in his speech by talking about a little boy and a little girl. And he says, this little boy and this little girl were brothers and sister, or brother and sister, and they were raised by an abusive daddy. The daddy used to get drunk most of the time. He had go off somewhere and they wouldn't see him for days. By the way, he said, that would be a blessing that you didn't see him. He says, and sometimes he wouldn't go off and he'd take his anger and his frustrations out on these kids. He says, it got to the point where the grandparents saw the abuse their grandchildren were receiving and they decided that's not going to happen anymore. And they told these grandchildren that when you see this situation, because the mother was having to work to foot all the bills, by the way, because the husband was a deadbeat and a drunk, and he drank everything that basically was being made. They said, you come to our house, we will protect you. Over the course of time, Brother Barnes said, he said, this man, this abusive father, this drunk, went out on a hillside one night He was drinking. And he didn't come back. As a matter of fact, he didn't come back for days. And after a while, they filed a missing persons report on him. And they knew where his habits were as far as where he would go off. And they investigated one of them. And sure enough, he was dead. Died out there on a hillside. Now, you've got a situation where the father's no longer alive. And the mother was such that financially it got to the point to where he had put them so in debt, she wasn't capable. And so the grandparents actually ended up raising these two grandkids. He said, the girl, by the way, grew up under the tutelage of her grandparents. And she met a boy, fine Christian young man. And they fell in love and they married. And he mentioned the town in the United States where they now live and where he's working as a faithful member of the church, and she's teaching Sunday school classes, and she's just doing great things. He said, you would think from a background like that, you wouldn't turn out to be worth anything. She says, but she overcame her obstacles in life. Of all the turmoil she had as a young child, she's at peace with God. She's got a great husband. She's got a great family. She's got a great outlook on life. And then he made this statement. He says, I guess you're wondering about the boy, aren't you? What happened to the little boy? And Brother Barnes said, the little boy is your chapel speaker today. You could have heard a pin drop in Bader Gym at Fried Hardeman. And here's what he said. He said, you college students here at Fried Hardeman, if you have a mother and daddy who raised you right, who took you to church every time the doors were open, a mother who read you Bible stories when you were going to sleep and had a prayer with you before you laid your head down solid to go to sleep, when you had a mom and daddy that cared enough about you to bring you up in the church and to teach you right, he says, let me tell you something. He said, not every one of us have had that. He says, and here's what you do. He says, as soon as this chapel is over, you go back to your dorm room or you go to the library or you go somewhere and you get out a piece of paper and you write your mama and your daddy a letter thanking them for having raised you in a home that I didn't have. That's what I did. That moved me. Of all the years that I've been preaching, I've run into some pretty bad home lives. I've dealt with abuse cases. In the confidentiality of the privacy of all the information that I know, I told them I'd never get in the pulpit and reveal any of it. And I'm not. But let me tell you something, folks. There is some pain in this room. I know what I'm talking about. There is some real pain in this room tonight. There ain't but one solution for that. And that is the peace that comes from God. And a thankful heart for what God gives you. And put the behind you. There's some real pain outside this room. You know that. Every year, Pam gets that new list of kids in her classroom. About the next thing she tells me, besides the names of the kids on that list, and by the way, I hardly know a single one of them on that list. Here's what she said. Here's a single parent child from a broken home, or here's a child whose mom and daddy in the process of breaking up. Guess what kind of year I'm going to have with those kids? And she's had those kind of years. By the way, I want to write their names off on our tax form because I hear their name about every night at the supper table. I could tell you last year's name, by the way. I could tell you the year before's name, too. Heard the same child's name over and over and over. She says, well, I can tell you what part of the problem is. Got a bad home life. When they go home, they're not going home to a place of peace and refuge. They're going home to a war zone where they're going home to. There's some real pain in East Limestone. Peace with God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Be you thankful. Be thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks unto God, for this is the will of God. Romans 1, 21. What was the quality of those that gave up on God? After that, when they knew God, they glorified not Him as God. What else were they not? Neither were thankful. Became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. People that think, I accumulated everything. I have everything that I have based on my knit and wit and my ability. No, you have everything you have because He that is of the perfect gift, every good and every perfect gift came from the Father of lights. James 1:17. And be ye thankful. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Great passage. By Him, therefore, let us give what? Fruit of our lips. Offer Him the fruit of our lips. Doing what? Giving thanks to His name. Song number 12 in our song book that Jared led us. What did we just get through singing? Hallelujah, right? Praise Jehovah. Hallelujah, praise His name. As a matter of fact, the very first song we sang, 900 and something, the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What's the nature of that song? Peace from God, and I'm thankful I got it. Let that rule in your heart. So let's move next to the next one. Voice says, by the which you are called in one body, to be one with God. There's one calling. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, particularly verse 14. Look at verse 13 along with it, where it says, by the which He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of that promise. There's one church, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, when they obeyed the gospel, the Lord added daily to the church such as should have were being saved. And then, of course, there's only one commitment. Philippians 1, verse 27, Paul says, only let your conversation be as becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs or your actions. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So in looking at these particulars, we now look at this particular concept and the lesson that will be yours. Let this rule in your heart. That's equal to saying, let it control your inner man. Control your inner man. We don't live in a country that has a monarchy. But if you're a Christian, you live under a monarchy. We live in a country that has a check and a balance of the three branches of government: executive, legislative, judicial. One does not have absolute power. All three are the federal government ties. Each has a check and a balance. But we live in a kingdom if you're in the church. And a king has absolute sovereign control over his kingdom. When a king sits upon a throne, that means he has the wherewithal to say whatever his subjects are to do. It's not up to the subjects, those who are servants of the king, to question the king. The king is sovereign. He can say whatever he wants to. It is up to the servants of the king simply to carry out what he who sits on the throne says. In the United States of America, before we became the United States of America, we lived under a British colony system. There was a man, King George, in the 1770s, over in England, who pretty much dictated, even without our representation, whatever this country was going to do of the 13 original colonies against the Atlantic coast. Matter of fact, he became such a tyrant, that's what this country actually rose up to gain its independence. That's why we have a July 4, 1776 celebration. By the way, Pam and I and even Phyllis were in Cambridge, England one year, 1981, in the month of July, around July the 4th. And I said something to Pam about, why aren't they celebrating July the 4th around here? By the way, why isn't London celebrating July the 4th over there? Because they lost. That's why they don't celebrate it. It wasn't a day of independence for Great Britain. It was an announcement, a pronouncement, that we declare our independence, and now we've got to go to war to back it up. And by the way, July 4, 1776 is not when we became an independent country. That's just when we declared our independence. Then we had to go get it. Then we had to go fight for it. Well, folks, we don't serve a king like George III. We serve one that says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That rules your heart. If you're not a Christian tonight, of every person in this room who is, here's what they would tell you, including me. There is a quality of knowing you have been forgiven from heaven that is without a doubt the greatest thing you ever have within you. My brother Gus Nichols had the major stroke that paralyzed him on the right side of his entire body. By the way, Brother Nichols was right-handed. Brother Nichols was laying in the hospital bed and people kept coming in, his family obviously, but other people used to come into his hospital room and ask him how he was doing, not being able to raise his right hand, his arm, move his right foot, anything. Brother Nichols would say, well, if I regain the use of this and I get better, I'll go back to preaching, I'll be fine. But then Brother Nichols said this. He says, if I never recover, and this is it, this is the end, I'll be fine too. What did that old man know? You know what he knows, right? For me to live is Christ. I'm going to keep on serving Christ if I get over this. If I don't, to die is gain. I'm in a win either way. Because I have peace with God. I'm thankful He is my God. And I will let that rule my heart and be thankful. That is a quality of the Christian life that must be for every one of us to have peace of mind. To lay your head down on your pillow and know whether you live or whether you die, you're right with God. You can have that tonight. Jesus didn't just die for me. He died for the whole world. And through your faith, through your repentance, through the confession of your faith, being baptized into Christ, He keeps His promises. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Washing away thy sins. Acts 22:16. And on and on the verses go. Sins blotted out. Acts 3:19. You need to come back to your first love and realize that there is truly a peace that I need within me. I know what I need to do. I need to be restored to my first love. And by the way, you're among friends. You're among people that will hug you, maybe even cry on your shoulder and tell you, I've been praying for you for a long time. And now, my prayer has been answered. Your subject, while Jared leads us, will you come? Just stand and sing.